123:1. We'll read that one first if you're there. It says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." And the psalmist also states in Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare," what? "The glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You know, if you look at the heavenly gallery and behold the most unimaginable, exquisite, breathtaking art there is, just to get out and to look up at night. So I want us to look at this for just a moment. The first thing I have is, how fast is fast? How fast you ever been? How fast you ever travel? We're going to load up for flight 101, okay? We're going in this 747 jetliner. How many of you ever flew before in a jet? You know what it looks like and feels like. Let's say this is going to travel at 500 miles an hour. That's going to be the traveling speed, okay? And here we're going to look at the beauty of his creative artistry. So you need to fasten your seat belts. Are you ready? As this airplane flies at around 500 miles an hour, probably averages about that. So let's make it our constant speed for right now, okay? That's really quite slow when compared to the speed of light. The question you learned in school was, what is it? Speed of light. You remember? 186,000 miles per second. Actually, now this is something that this brought out. Actually, it's 186,282.4 miles per second. That's moving on, isn't it? But what's a few thousand feet, or a few thousand miles among friends, okay? So if we round to that off, that means 670 million miles per hour. 670 million miles per hour. That's moving on, isn't it? In other words, in one second, light can travel around the earth seven times. That speed. All right? Although the moon is 240,000 miles from Earth, it would take that light just 1 1/3 seconds to reach from there to here, here to there, however you want to put it. And boy, that's really moving on, isn't it? You know, I thought about that, and as I thought about that, Genesis 1:3 should take on new meaning to us as I read that. Because it said there in Genesis 1:3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was" what? Light. Just that quick. Just that quick. God created it. God made it especially for those that was going to inhabit the earth. He made it so that we wouldn't have to worry about it. We wouldn't have to try to figure it out. But the thing about it is, as we think about that, the next important measure is a light year. How long is a light year? I've heard of it all my life. That's how far light can travel in 1 year. So you need to get your calculator and listen. First thing, that's 186. We just used 186,000 miles per second. That's what we was taught in school. Times 60 seconds, that is 11,160,000 miles per minute, right? Okay, then times 60 times that means 1 hour, and that's 669,600,000 miles per hour. And then plus 24 hours is 16,066,400,000. That's a light day. Times 365 days. That's a light year. It is 6 3 6 9 12 zeros. That's 6 trillion miles an hour. Miles a year. That's just about what our president has added to the budget deficit since he's been in there. $6 trillion. If we took that, we multiplied it times three, that's what about, just about where we're hovering right here, close to that right now, $18 trillion. I'll get it right directly. But the thing about it is, that's the equivalent about, listen, that's the equivalent about 12 million round trips to the moon and back. 12 million round trips to the moon and back. Boy, my aunt don't even drive that fast, and she drives fast. But the thing about it is, when we think about the greatness of God and His creative power, how fast is fast? How fast is fast? If you're a snail, and you travel at a snail's pace, that's not very fast. But when you think about the speed of light and the creative God made it possible for it to move that swift and that fast, man, that baffles and blows my mind, does it not yours? I mean, just more than you can understand. Okay, let's get back into 747 again. And we're going to poke along now at 500 miles an hour again, which is now kind of pathetically slow, but just wait a minute. The next thing is, how far is far? How far is far? We're still in our jet, traveling at 500 miles an hour, and let's say we are going to travel nonstop, 24 hours a day. It would take us just shy 3 weeks to make it to the moon at 500 miles an hour. 3 weeks, just shy. If you wanted to go to the sun, which is 93 million miles away, it would take a bit more than 21 years to get to the sun at 500 miles an hour. But now if you want to go to Pluto, if you want to reach Pluto, you're going to have to be there for 900 years in flight. Of course, all of us will be dead by then. But do you kind of get the picture, get the idea? The greatness of the God we serve. But listen, the nearest star to us, our system, is called the Alpha Centauri. The closest one of that, of this system, is the Proxima Centauri, and it's a mere 4.3 light years from the Earth. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, we would land on our closest star in about 6 million years. Closest star. Have you got the picture yet? All right, let's speed it up just a little bit, okay? Let's say our airplane can go from the Earth to the sun in 1 hour. How fast would that be? From the Earth to the sun in 1 hour. That'd be 93 million miles per hour, wouldn't it? I don't believe Patterson's sheriff police radar would pick that up. But let's just say we'd do that. To reach the constellation 61 Cygna, or the Swan, the group of stars called the Swan, it would take at that speed 78 years, which is 10.9 light years from the Earth. Did you catch that? 78 years. And if you tried visiting the single star in the galaxy, which is the Andromeda, it would take 2.5 million light years away, and it would take you a mere 5 quintillion miles to get there. That's how far it is away. It would take 4.2 trillion years at 93 million miles an hour. Is your head swimming yet? Huh? Listen, I don't want us to have any mental short circuits and blow a fuse, okay? We don't want to do that. But you know, when you think about the greatness of God, and you think about here David, as he wrote these Psalms and as he gazed into the heavens, he penned things about God that made us aware of even what he saw in the greatness of God. But you know what? That's nothing. Listen to this. You know they put a Hubble telescope out into space, and they say they say, and it purports to show the most distant galaxy in the universe, or at least that's the farthest one it can detect. And it's estimated to be, listen, 13 million light years from the Earth. 13 million light years from the Earth. That is 78 with 21 zeros behind it, which is 6 trillion miles away. Boy, all this traveling makes me want to stop at McDonald's or somewhere, don't you? But when we think about this and think about the greatness of our God, how far is far? How far is far? Huh. I'm reminded of a story of this old man that was a farmer, had never been anywhere, and his son moved out to California. He was from North Carolina, I believe it was, somewhere there close to South Carolina, up in that area. I can't remember exactly where it was, but anyhow, his son got in California, got real deathly sick, and he called his dad and told him he needed to come out to see him. And so his dad went down to the airport to get in a plane. And he asked the man, says, when will this plane take off? And he says, well, it'll leave here at 10 minutes till 12 today. And he says, how long will it take to get to California, where I want to go? He says, it will get to California at 25 minutes to 12. The man backed off and went over and sat down. He says, you want a ticket? He says, no, I just want to watch that thing take off. How far is far? How far is far? The next question is, how many is many? How many is many? What do you do on a trip when you're traveling? What's one of the pastimes you do? Count cars? Tag numbers, whatever. I've played all kind of things when you're out traveling. But it'll be dark a little bit later on tonight. I'll tell you what you do. Let's go out in the yard and let's just look up and count stars. You want to do that? Count the stars, okay? We must remember that our sun is but one star in but one solar system. And our solar system is part of a galaxy which we call the Milky Way. You've heard a lot about that. How many do you think is in it? If you go out tonight, your naked eye, you probably could count at least 4,000 stars with the naked eye on a good night. On a good night. But the Milky Way contains approximated from 150 to 200 million stars. Well, that's a bunch of them, isn't it? Just in the Milky Way alone. Listen, we are only one galaxy among 150 others, each with billions of stars in them. The constellation Virgo has more than 5 trillion stars in it by itself. Just think about that. One constellation. When we think about the creative power of God, and when we think about the awesomeness of God and His creation, do you think for one moment that He's not in control? Do you think for one moment that He did not know what He was doing? It has been said, and I don't know this for a fact, but I could believe it would, that God put the earth in the proper place and the proper measurement for the sun to turn on its axis. Just a few miles closer and we would burn up. And just a few miles further away and we would literally freeze to death. Ain't enough coats at Walmart to cover you up, keep you warm. But God placed it in a particular place, in a place where He could guide and He could direct. And, you know, a lot of folks in some of these theories going on, they says, well, God may have created all. We'll give into that. Maybe God created all. But He's gone off somewhere. He's just going to let it run its course and do its own thing. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. God is still in control. He is still in control. So we remember the sun. And I talked to you about the constellation Virgo. The next time you go down to the beach, I tell you what you do. You reach down with both hands and you pick up just as much sand as you can get in your hands. And then you sit down over there on the sidewalk and you start counting those grains of sand. I'd done forgot mine. Before you got through, you might have a short enough mental shortcut or short circuit or something. But the thing about it is, when you do that and you think about just that double handful, and I don't want to go insane even thinking about that, but if you took every grain of sand, listen to me, every grain of sand on every inch of beach there is in the world, it would not equal to the stars in the galaxy of the universe. Think about that. Every grain of sand on every beach on the earth would not even come close to all those in the stars and the galaxies. This scripture come to my mind whenever I was thinking about this. You remember what God told Abraham whenever he gave him the promise that he would give him a son? And Abraham got antsy and dancy, and Sarah did too. And of course, you know, he went into Hagar and they had Ishmael. But God promised Abraham, he says, Abraham, he says, to reinforce what he'd already told him, he says, go out and you count the stars. And you count the stars, then you count the grains of sand on the earth. He says, your descendants is going to number like that. Innumerable. And here we see that God, in his creative power, how many is many? How many is many? Turn to Psalm 147:4 just a moment. Psalm 147:4. I want you to look at this verse, everybody here, if you will. 147, verse 4. It says, and the psalmist, as he wrote this, he says, he telleth the number of the stars. And it says also, he calls them by their name. You talking about a great God? A God that we serve? A God that's got it all in control? And sometimes we get antsy and we get irritated and we get all these things when we need to realize that God is in control. It couldn't help but follow up with the next verse. Look what it says. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our God, and of great power, and his understanding is what? Infinite. That term there means beyond measure. And boy, let me tell you something. That is an understatement if there ever was one. Because there's absolutely no way to understand, because they're beyond measure. God's selective power, his great power, is beyond all those things. What does that mean? What does it mean to you? I'll stop there. We will not go into how big is big, because it deals with the sun. Just a few facts of the sun. I'll tell you some of them. The sun is 864,000 miles in diameter. And if you lined up 100 Earths touching each side by side, it would not reach the diameter of the sun. It is said that out of the matter in the sun, you could build 333,000 Earths. How big is big? How big is God? My, the psalmist declared it here for us. He declared it, and I don't think he even knew what he was talking about, do you? I mean, he didn't have all the things that we've got today to detect so many things, the stars and all that's out there, but yet he recognized the greatness of God. How big is God? Let me ask you this. How big is your God? You know, our God is only as big as we will let him be. Are you with me? He's only as big as we'll let him be. He goes beyond anything that we could ever think or imagine or hope or dream. And so many times we limit God. We try to put him in a box, or just like they did when they built a temple, they thought they could put God in the temple. You couldn't put God in the temple. And there are a million times millions of the temples like it, because of his greatness and how big he is. There was a song that came out several years ago, and Brother Orville said he had never heard it. It goes like this.
Though man may strive to go beyond the reach of space, to crawl beyond the distant shining stars, the world's a room so small within my master's house, the open skies but a portion of his yard. How big is God? How big and wide is his domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. To live within our heart. A winter's chill may cause the tiny seed to fall, to lie asleep till waked by summer's rain. The heart grown cold will warm and trod with life anew. The master's touch will bring the glow again. How big is God? How big and wide is his domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within our hearts. Does that not just blow your mind? To think about the magnitude of God, the majesty of God. As the psalmist said, the glory of God. The whole thing, as I thought about this, and I know in my own life I do it. I try not to, but I do. It's so many times we limit God. We limit God because of our expectation or what we think God is. But let me tell you something. If I understand the Bible correct, the Word of God correct, God is unlimited in what He can do and what He's about. He is beyond anything that we could ever hope or dream or imagine. His whole, I don't know what you'd call it, His whole thinking, idea, is for mankind to come into a relationship with Him so that He can prove diametrically and openly to all mankind the greatness of who He is. But see, how can He do that when we limit Him? When we make Him so small and so little in our own thinking, that's why we need to study the Word of God, am I right? Because, let me tell you something, as you study the Word of God, the God of the Word will become real. You study the Word of God, the God of the Word, the God that's in the Word, the part of the Word, talking about the God of the Word, He will be more of Himself to us. And in the process of that, He will grow day by day. I think that's what Paul was talking about when he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means every day of life ought to be a growing experience. I'm not talking about around the waist either. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about with our inner being, our inner man, where we do not limit God and put up fences and say, God, you stay on the other side because that's as far as I can reach. That's as far as I can imagine. That's as far as I can dream. When we ought to open our minds, the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart, to say, God, I want to go. I want to be what you would have me to be. I want to go beyond the boundaries that I've set in my life. I want to be all in everything that you would have me to be. Do you think, listen to me, do you think if we prayed that kind of prayer, what do you think God would do? What do you think God would do in our life? Where we said, Lord, I know that I'm limited, but I know you're unlimited. I know that I am nothing, but He's everything. I am finite at my very best, but He's infinite in who He is. Not only that, I am powerless, but He is all powerful. I don't know very much, but I know the one that's unknowing. He knows it all. He knows tomorrow. He knows next week. He knew yesterday. He knew 10,000 years ago. But He also knows in the future as well. And if we as His people could really just let go, that's the best term I know, is to let go with our little pea brain thinking and let God be who God wants to be. There's absolutely no telling what He could do in our life. God help us to do that. Would you covenant with me that we here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, we're going to look to God for what He's going to do through our fellowship and our church to make it what He wants it to be. Our pastor's gone. They've gone scuba diving with Brother Richie and his wife. I don't think Joyce, she says, I'm not going. They're not going to get me in a boat because I don't know how to swim. But you know what? While he's gone, we need to make a covenant with ourselves and with God. That, Lord, I want you to make known to me where I put up those blocks, those roadblocks, those barriers where I have set up and I limit myself to that place or those fences I put up. God, I want you to help me just tear them down. I want to see the greatness of who you are. I want to see your majesty, God. I want to feel and see your glory. You remember when Moses went up and talked with God in the mountain? And when he come back down, the children of Israel could not look upon him because of the Shekinah glory of God that rested upon him. They had to put a sheet over his face. Boy, wouldn't that be something if we got that close to God that we had to put a sheet over our face to come into the church or wherever it be? We see that at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Those disciples witness that in the life of Jesus there on the Mount. That's why Peter stuck his foot in his mouth and said, Lord, if it's good for us to be here, let us build 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one Elijah. And Father God thundered down from heaven. He says, this is my Son, hear ye him. Don't worry about the law. Don't worry about the prophets. You be concerned about what he says. You listen to him. You be obedient to him from now on. Let's pray together. I hope I did not lose you. I hope this was good for you as we think about the greatness of God. And Lord, tonight as we come before your throne of grace, where you have encouraged us in your word for us to come boldly before your throne. And the only way we can do that and have the right to do that is come as your children. And we become your children when we respond to Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us at the cross, where he paid our sin debt for us. He took upon himself our sin. He bore our sin and he nailed it to the tree. And he gave us life. Not just living, but life. And God, I pray that we'd understand what you said there in John 10:10, Lord, where you says, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Oh, God, help us to recognize and to understand that you are the one who gives abundant, everlasting, eternal life to those who will trust you. Father, tonight I pray that you will just have your will in our lives. So many times, Lord, we limit you because we are limited. We hold back, God, whenever we cannot see the end results. But help us, oh God, to learn to trust you. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. Help us to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to put the things of the world to the side and focus our attention on you, dear Lord, and allow you to be who you desire and want to be in and through our life. God, help us to do that
is our prayer in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for His glory alone. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time and attention.